And as you're finding the passage, I would like you to keep in the back of your mind one thought, really one big thought I want you to take away from today, which is that I must avoid poisonous words. And so I would keep that in the back of your mind. Now, you may remember when we've been talking about James, we've been in James for a couple of weeks now. James was the half-brother of Jesus, the leader of the church in Jerusalem, and he was writing to early Christians dispersed throughout the world in about the mid-40s AD. And his focus in his whole letter was to encourage people to holy living. So you've got that in the back of your mind. The scripture again is James chapter 3, starting in verse 1. And as is our custom, if you'd please rise in reverence to the reading of the word of the Lord. James 3, starting in verse 1. Not many should become teachers, my brothers, because you know that we will receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is mature, able to control the whole body. Now, if we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we direct their whole bodies. And consider ships. Though very large and driven by fierce winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So too, though the tongue is a small part of the body, it boasts great things. Consider how a small fire sets ablaze a large forest. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue, a world of unrighteousness, is placed among our members. It stains the whole body, sets the course of life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Every kind of animal, bird, reptile, and fish is tamed and has been tamed by humankind, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in God's likeness. Blessing and cursing come out of the same mouth. My brothers and sisters, these things should not be this way. Does a spring pour out sweet and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree produce olives, my brothers and sisters, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a saltwater spring yield fresh water. The word of the Lord for the people of the Lord. Let us pray. Merciful Lord, we are thankful for these words. We are thankful for inspiring James to pen these words, not only for those Christians living in the 40s AD, but for us today as well. We thank you that they are still just as true, just as valid, and just as transformative today. Father, we ask that you would open our eyes, open our ears, open our minds to receive the message you have for us today. We ask this in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And please be seated. Now, some of you all may know, you know, I've talked about it before, but I spent a few years on active duty. I did manage to go deploy to Iraq 3 times, and true to form in anything involving the government, I received desert survival training before the 3rd of my 3 deployments. Yeah, yes, seriously, it took them that long to establish the training program and approve it. But I learned a lot about surviving if you get lost in the desert. And, you know, some of these are common sense, but it's really helpful. You know, avoid direct sun if you can. If you can find some shade, stay in it during the hot part of the day. Signal for help. You can use a mirror to do that. Or at night, if you can light a fire, that can be seen from a distance to help people find you. Something that seems maybe less intuitive is don't wander. Stay put. Because people are looking for you, and they will have an easier time finding you if you're not wandering away from them. Because you're just as likely to wander off in the wrong direction. Wait, you know, that sounds like something that would preach someday. But also, one thing they told us that was really surprising to me, they said, you know, have your water, but drink your water. A lot of people are found dead in the desert, still having water they haven't drank. They said, it doesn't do you any good if you don't drink it. You drink it, and then, you know, try to conserve your sweat. But, you know, you got to drink your water. And then something that they pointed out, and they drilled this into people in our training, and I'm like, ew. But they told us very specifically, do not drink your urine, because some people will try that after they've run out of water. Don't drink your urine, because that will make things worse. That will dehydrate you quicker. That is actually toxic to you. I'm like, well, that never would have occurred to me, but thanks for that scary mind picture. But I think there's a lesson in that. I think that in many ways, as we wander through the desert in this life, I think we have to be very careful about what we consume. And one thing I want us to pay really close attention to today and gather from James's divinely inspired words is that lies are poisonous words. It's really simple, you know, and James starts out by talking about teaching. You know, he starts out with not many should be teachers. Well, that sounds discouraging right off the bat, right? But it's important, because if we just let anybody be a teacher, who knows what's going to be taught, right? You might just hear all sorts of things. Because depending on who's teaching, you may find lies in teaching. Now, in 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul reminded Timothy of the importance of study in rightly handling the word of truth. It's important. Those who teach must study so that they don't say the wrong things or do the wrong things. Teachers who are not prepared, who do not study, who do not take the time to prepare, will get it wrong. They will make up something in their mind that is not true. And any teaching, even if it's error, any teaching that is false teaching. It's a lie. We have to be very careful as those who teach how we teach. We have to know what we teach. We have to study. We have to pay careful attention to it. And you know, I sit in Sunday school classes. I can tell how much effort that our teachers put into their lessons. They do. They read, they study, sometimes they may trip over the presentation, but that doesn't mean they haven't studied and learned it. And, you know, sometimes I trip over presentation too. You all know that. But if a teaching has something that is not true, any error, it is false teaching. If I were to stand up here with, and I should have grabbed a glass of water and done this. If I were to stand up here with a glass of water and start putting, you know, little bits of dirt in it, how long would it take before none of you were willing to drink that? Not very long if you saw me putting it in. It might take a little longer if I was putting it in undercover and you couldn't see until the water starts looking a funny color. But the idea is that we have to pay attention to what we hear. We have to pay attention to what we teach, but those of us who listen have to pay attention to what we hear as well. People in churches all over are being led away from Christ and into a much better relationship with Satan by what they are hearing taught in their Sunday school classes, in the pulpits, that thing. There's three things that really can contribute to this. One is idolatry of preachers. You know, I have heard people talk, you know, on and on about how so-and-so is such a great preacher. He makes me feel so good. People. Now, okay, it's okay. Yes, we present good news, but it shouldn't always, you know, if it's all good all the time, that may be a problem. We have preachers preaching idolatry, if you will, idolatry of country, idolatry of self. Boy, that's big right now. You do you, boo. No. Not what the scripture said. Follow your heart. No, don't do that. It's deceitful above all things. Preachers preach that nonsense because they don't study. So, under the guise of teaching, they're here spreading lies. I will say, and I hadn't thought about this until recently, but James's statement that not many should be teachers is not at all to discourage people from teaching. Those who know God has called them to teach should absolutely teach. You're in disobedience if you don't. He's not trying to discourage them. What he is trying to do is to point out the importance of it and the consequences for falsely assuming such an office. And you got to remember that the first Christians were Jews who had been attending synagogue, and teachers were super well respected at that time. And they used to, in synagogues though, they would let any man get up and say something. You know, we can see evidence of that in the New Testament, you know, particularly the book of Acts. Well, and the Gospels, when we see Jesus being invited to speak. Any man could get up and talk in synagogue. And some people really like to hear themselves talk. You ever met anybody like that? Yeah, there are people who really will get up and say things just to hear themselves talk. I've been to meetings where there were people like that. They got up to say something because they had to say something. James is cautioning against that. But he's really cautioning against people who aren't called to the office of teacher being teachers. That's important, because we believers must be aware that false teaching is a lie. It is a poison. And every lie, of course, comes from the father of lies. We must avoid consuming lies, particularly in teaching, but in other areas of our lives as well. For example, and I hesitate to use this word, but politics. I think it's very telling that in the United States of America in 2024, we have come to not expect truth at all from politicians. They don't even like to pretend to speak the truth now. Have you noticed? Now, we have no control over what is being spewed out of the mouths of any candidate. No control whatsoever what they're going to say, the craziness they're going to say. We have no control over that. whatsoever, and we should not let it bother us. No control over the sewage they're spewing out. However, we do have control over how much of it we consume. It's okay. I will give you permission to this. It is okay. It is 100% scripturally acceptable to turn off your television. Anybody know that? You can turn it off even if you're not going to bed right then. You can turn it off. There's no requirement. There is no legal requirement to have that thing on all day, feeding bad news into your ears. Feeding lies into your ears. There's no need for that. It's okay to get off of social media for a while. I know a lot of you aren't on social media, and some of you are, and some of you see the nonsense people put out there. It's okay to take that phone and put it in your pocket, put it somewhere else. Don't tell anyone I said this. It's okay to leave it at home and go somewhere else. except for you senior citizens whose kids really need to know that you're somewhere okay. But it's okay. It's okay to ignore that thing. It's okay to not be fed everything that people are putting out. Not only is it okay, it's actually better for you. Because you're not then having your mind and your heart and your soul vexed by these accusations and those accusations and the fear that this side is spreading and the fear that this side is spreading. And by the way, fear is a commodity on both sides of the political aisle. That's their entire business model, is to make you fear the other guy and vote for them and send money to them. It's a good business model if you can get into it. Make everybody fear something. But we don't have control over what they put out. We do have control over how much of it we consume. We also have control over how many of these lies we spread. There is nothing that requires us to share news that we hear, particularly if we don't know it to be true. In the old days, that used to be called gossip. You know, I remember the ladies in Hee Haw used to, you'll never hear one of us repeating gossip, so you better be sure and listen close the first time. Now, we don't have gossip as much, but we have going viral and likes and shares. And people will share the most nonsensical, ridiculous things that are obviously lies, and people will share them. Tammy and I had this discussion not too long ago. It's a few years ago. There was a lady that we had gone to church with for many years, who shared something on social media. It was going around that was not only blatantly false, but could be proven to be false instantly. And it was, the whole thing was designed to cause people to hate a certain group of people. Well, Tammy had messaged her, a lot of people had shared this. Tammy had messaged them privately saying, hey, here's the link to show that that's not true. And some people took it down. Well, this one lady, and I know about her response to Tammy, but I also saw her response to her grandchild who had posted on there, Granny, this is not true. And her response was the same in both instances. I don't care if it's true. I hate them, and this is, this sounds like something they would do. One of few people I have actually unfriended, because if you claim to be a Christian and do not care that you're spreading a lie, that is bad. I'm like, I got nothing I can do for you now. We have absolute control over what poisonous words we share. Poisonous words don't just hurt in teaching, they don't just hurt in politics, they hurt in actual relationships with people we know and love. Lies will damage relationships. Even so-called innocuous lies. Does this dress make me look fat? Yeah, be careful. But, yeah, I know that's an invitation to say something you shouldn't. Stop it! But lies damage relationship, whether lies of commission or lies of omission. But not just lies, even true words can be poisonous if they're delivered in the wrong way. You can be absolutely true in your criticism of somebody and still be abusive in your language toward them. That's not right, that's poisonous. Or if you're engaging in excessive criticism. Some of us like that, you know. I heard a preacher talking about, you know, a woman saying, you know, she had the spiritual gift of criticism, and he said, we have no need for your gift here. Words, a lot of times spoken in anger, can be poisonous, because if we're really angry, we don't temper what we say. We don't show love in what we say. And when we speak the truth, and we are called to speak the truth, we must speak the truth in love. Paul wrote that in Ephesians, by the way. It's important. We got to be truthful. We can't share lies. By the way, I mentioned it earlier, but it is true that every untruthful statement, every untruthful word comes from the father of lies. As Jesus himself said in John 8:44, you are of your father the devil and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. When he tells a lie, he speaks from his own nature because he is a liar and the father of lies. So if you are telling a lie, that did not come from God. It came from Satan. If you are sharing a lie, that lie came from Satan. Whether it's accidentally sharing a lie, you know, accidentally saying the wrong thing in teaching, accidentally posting an untruth on social media, or accidentally sharing a false statement with a friend, a lie is a lie. They all have the same source. By contrast, truthful words delivered well, instead of being poisonous, are actually life-giving. Think about this. You know, we sang the song earlier, Wonderful Words of Life. Margaret Ann could not have picked a better song for today. Wonderful words of life. Truth preserves relationships. Confession and repentance, when we have messed up, can help restore relationships. Saying I'm sorry can go a long way in your relationship with your parent, sibling, child, friend, in-law, outlaw. Confession and repentance go a long way. They're kind of like the cornerstone of what we believe. The gospel gives people eternal life. Our words, as those who are disciples of Christ, and that's what we're all called to be, are to be a blessing to others. Now, they must be a true blessing. But James points out again here, with the tongue we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in God's likeness. Blessing and cursing come out of the same mouth. My brothers and sisters, again reminding us all, we are siblings. These things should not be this way. Does a spring pour out sweet and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree produce olives, my brothers and sisters? Again, reminding us of who we are. Or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a saltwater spring yield fresh water. If you are continually spewing out words of criticism, words of falsehood, words of hate, these things, you cannot from the same mouth spew out the wonderful words of life. It is a contradiction not found in nature. That's what he's pointing out to there. You know, saltwater springs and freshwater springs were both fairly common and both had their purposes, you know. Saltwater springs kind of feel good to, you know, medicinally, you know, to sit in or whatever. You know, I know some of you like to go to the beach. You know, saltwater can feel kind of good. Unless you have a cut. But it's not something to consume. Fresh water is what you should be consuming, and that's what we should be pouring out. Because we must be consistent in our words. Our words must be consistently true. They must be consistently life-giving. This is important. And of course, the most life-giving words that we can give people are the gospel. You know, y'all should know this by, you know, pretty well by now. Gospel is good news, but before it's good news, it is bad news. Oh, y'all are getting good. I like the volume on this. What's the bad news? That's right. We are all born a sinner separated from God. There is not one person who is the exception to that rule, except Jesus Christ. He was born without sin. The rest of us, you know, I know everybody can point to some time in recent history, even when they've sinned. That's bad news. What's the worst news? That's right. Nothing we can do about it. We are helpless before our Lord because there is not a thing that we can do to undo our sin. Even if we could stop and live perfectly from now on through the rest of our life, which, you know, could be any number of days. Even if we could live perfectly from now on, what do we do about all the sins in the past? We still, you know, they would still be there. So then what's the good news? Okay, say this louder. Jesus Christ did for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Y'all got to get better at this good news. You get the bad news out pretty easily. It's like you were all raised Baptist. There's not enough chicken for lunch. We get the bad news out quickly. No, the good news is that Jesus Christ did for us what we cannot do for ourselves. He came to earth being sent from God, being born of a virgin, lived a life completely without sin, died on the cross for our sins, was buried, rose again on the third day, which proved that the claims he made was true. That is the good news. Jesus did for us what we cannot do for ourselves. What's the best news of all? That's right. It is free for the asking. You cannot earn it, but you can and you must accept it. Let's be sure to share that good news with somebody this week. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and merciful Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that you've given us this morning to gather together and to hear your word. And we are thankful that you're now giving us an opportunity to go and spread the wonderful word of life out into our community. Father, we ask that if there is anybody here today or watching online later who does not know Christ as their Savior, we would ask that this would be the day they would come to know him. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.